Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new Securing Bridges podcast. You're about to join Alyssa Miller as she sits down with senior and executive security leaders to share stories of success and failure while working across business teams. It's time to build and secure the bridge to the business. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
What is up, Security Bridges? Faithful, I'll call you. We're back. It's been a few weeks. It's been kind of a rough go here, but travel has slowed down at least for a little bit. I say that it says we have RSA conference coming up next week and more travel. But hey, you know, we've had some other complications, guests, me, whatever. It happens. I'm sorry. I know it's been like 3 or 4 weeks since we've had an episode, but we're back. We're live. Another super exciting guest today. I'm really excited for this, as always. Hopefully you are too. You saw it out on social media. You know who it's going to be, but here he is. It's Chris Roberts. Chris, how the hell are you?
Good. Causing chaos and mayhem in the world, as normal. Annoying people, trying not to get yelled at, shot at, and all those other good things. Yeah, good fun, as always. Yeah, good life goals to have. Yeah, thanks for having me. Ton of fun. Cool. It's actually, I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to be fun.
I am as well, and I'm so glad you came. Thank you for joining us. So, maybe some people, like one or two in the world, don't know who you are.
What the hairy thing is.
So introduce yourself, because you've got all sorts of fun stories.
Just one or two. And the bruises to prove it. So Chris Roberts, Chief Information Security Officer over at Boom Supersonic, researcher behind the scenes on all sorts of interesting stuff, a couple of different bits and pieces across the world, hacker, and father to a couple of rather large Great Danes, three of them, which often appear on social media and actually also on the LinkedIn profile and stuff. So yeah, been creeping around the industry for more years than I care to think of, been yelled at a few times, been on the front page of the news a couple of times, and all those other good things in between.
Well, it is so cool to have you. So I love this. First of all, tell us, you literally work with rocket scientists.
Oh, like rocket scientists, fluid engineers, Formula One engineers, aerodynamicists, and all sorts in between. It's really cool. It's kind of cool. So for those of you who don't know, Boom Supersonic, we're building basically the next generation of supersonic jet. We have an experimental jet that's currently out in Mojave at the moment. That's broken cover, so I can talk about it a little bit. We're actually out there doing ground testing, flight testing, engine testing, all those other stupid things that you do when you build an airplane literally from scratch and go, hey, we want to fly this thing. And at the same time, we're obviously building out the full-size jet. We've decided to build our own engines. So you can imagine just the brain power and all the fun stuff that's part of that. So yeah, I get to sit in a building and talk to some crazy, amazing people and the test pilots on like a daily basis. Geek out moment.
when can I come visit? Because, you know, I kind of have this whole thing going with like aviation, you know?
Yeah, oh, totally. That picture of you in front of, it was the moon, wasn't it?
Yeah, isn't that wild? I can't believe that.
Beautiful. Just awesome. But, yeah, we are, you got to come down. So Centennial Airport is here, like literally here. We've got a couple of places on it. And we're out in Mojave as well. So just come and hang out. Just bring one of the planes.
That's it. That settles it. I have so many people in Denver who would love me to come out that way. I'm on my way.
We got you covered. We totally got you covered.
Yeah. So what's interesting now is, so you've been around the block, shall we say.
Yeah.
I think many of us have. You did many years in consulting. In fact, that's when I first met you. You were in consulting. In fact, I think the first time I actually met you in person was at GERCON.
Oh.
And it was shortly after a particular infamous event that I don't know if we can even talk about.
Yeah, that was a learning experience, shall we say. So that would have been 2015, 2016 in that case. Yeah.
Don't post jokes from airplanes.
No shit, yeah. Keep your thoughts to yourself. Don't put them on Twitter. And maybe, yeah. Listen to the voice inside the head. All those other good ones. Yeah.
Where I was going with that, and yeah, we'll stay away from that topic. You didn't tell me I had to, but I think that's one we probably don't want to get into. But,
avoid bits of it, yeah.
People can look that up. They can figure it out if they don't know.
Oh yeah, and then when they read the reports, they can give me a shout, and they can answer. I'll answer the actual truths as opposed to what our friendly federal friends might have not spell checked, shall we say?
So you were in consulting. You've been doing security research for as long as I've known of you, even before I even had met you. Yeah, but now you're back into like the industry world, right? Like where your company's primary focus isn't cybersecurity.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, and
so how has that adjustment been?
It's actually really freaking cool. I'm enjoying. On one side, I'm absolutely enjoying it. Either consulting my own companies, or working on the vendor side of it. And I think it's really interesting. In one way, it's a relief because my focus is totally different. Plus, because I'd spent so many years basically throwing rocks at the glass house that we've built as an industry and going, you're doing it wrong, you're training your people wrong, you're building the wrong gear, you're doing the wrong basics. Being on the inside and going, all right, now I've got to eat my own dog food, basically, and being able to demonstrate, because I've been here over a year now, and we've made crazy changes. And it's a team. You know, this isn't all one person doing it. This is an absolute team. I've been able to build a team. I've been able, my CIO sits literally right here. The IT team sit there. The engineers sit there. And it's freaking awesome because everything we've been standing up on stage and going, do the basics, fix this, collaborate, communicate, cooperate with everybody, I can put into practice. And I can go talk to the people team and say, hey, we want to roll this out. How do we do it properly and eloquently? I can walk into Blake's office, who's the CEO, and I can go, hey, I've got some thoughts. Can we talk? I can, you know, this Charles and I catch up almost on a daily basis, but we have formal stuff. I talk with the rest of the team. Tara runs the governance, risk, and compliance. I think you know Tara. She's sitting literally there. And I'm able to bring people in, and we're able to train them up the right way. So it's freaking awesome having that freedom and that flexibility. And I get to talk to vendors, and Boom is gracious that lets me still run around and do RSA and do, you know, Black Hat, do Middle East stuff and a bunch of others. So yeah, I kind of get the best of both worlds now. And I still get to, you know, with you and with others, I get to go on the podcast and go, hey, dear vendors, now I'm on the receiving end. Now I'm seeing what I told you was wrong. It's hitting me. So now let's have a conversation about how to do it more efficiently and effectively.
Isn't it wild? Like sometimes for those that don't know, you know, Chris and I kind of similar stories in that regard. We both were doing, you know, security research, working for some of the bigger cybersecurity firms and also some of the smaller ones. And now both find ourselves as CISOs in industry roles that are not cybersecurity industry. But do you get the same thing that, like, I feel like sometimes, like, I'm a vendor's worst nightmare as far as a CISO because I've been on the other side?
Yes. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, because I'm critiquing that. I'm critiquing how they're talking with me. And, I mean, so Danny Wolf and I, we do the podcast. Like, it's meant to be every couple of weeks, but we do that where we literally take my inbox to pieces. And we'll spend the first 10, 15 minutes going, hey, look, this is the inbound mail. What in the smeg were they thinking? and then you're like, okay, look, you've done the same thing as a CISO. Here's how to approach me. Here is the best way. Do your bloody research. I mean, I put on my LinkedIn profile, the very first opening sentence is like, look, you know, approach carefully with tea and biscuits and whiskey. Don't try to sell me shit on that first email. I'll flambe you live on. And but people don't take that minute. And I'm like, all right, you're asking for 10, 15 minutes, but you're not willing to spend 5 minutes to do research. So right. Yeah, I'm totally the worst nightmare, like totally the worst nightmare.
And my bar a lot of times is pretty low. Like, can we just start by getting my name right? Maybe even the right gender. Like, I got one the other day. Hello, Steve. Who the hell is Steve? You know, and it's frustrating because, or you get the ones where they love to, the one I really love right now is I got this one. It says, well, maybe this is a bad time because I noticed you didn't respond to my previous message.
the pity me ones. You still haven't responded. If you don't respond in this next one, yeah, I love those. I have those. I have those in my spam folder because Danny and I will talk about them.
Then I go back and I look. That message about maybe this isn't a good time was the 10th message. Like, I cannot figure this out. Like, well, who are the CISOs that do respond to this? That's what I want. Who is the CISO who ignores a salesperson 7 times, but then on that magical 8th email suddenly sends a message and says, yeah, let's talk about your product?
I think it's tough because, I mean, you're probably in the same boat I am. Reporting out to leadership, reporting out to the board, I've had to have my 2023 roadmap in place since, you know, Q3, Q4 of 2022. I know what I'm beholden to. I know the frameworks I'm beholden to. I know what I'm focusing on. Yes, some tactical stuff occasionally comes up that I have to adjust to. But for the most part, I know which vendors I'm going to be talking to, or I know which areas I'm going to be talking to. This is why Victoria over at Kaleidy, freaking love what she's doing, because now I use her as basically a barrier to most of the vendors.
Yeah. You know, and this is actually a really good point, because as we think about this, and I don't want to just senselessly whine and moan about vendors, but if we talk about what vendors can do better, it's understanding that cycle alone. Right. Understanding that if you contact me in March and say, hey, do you need this thing? Yeah. Well, either, yes, it's already an initiative that's in my budget and I've got CapEx dollars for it or whatever, for this year, and in which case, like you said, I'm already building. I've already got my list. I know who we are talking to.
Yeah.
Or no, and there's nothing we're going to talk about this year. So maybe come to me with a little bit different conversation than how can we put, you know, whiz bang, zero trust, ultra super special, whatever, blinky box in your budget this year. You can't. Yeah. My budget was set back in October.
Yeah, and not only is my budget set back, my priorities are set. So at Boom, we have drivers that are very business focused, very less on the tech focus, but very business focused. I mean, and we also have and those are across the entire organization. And typically, and the thing I love about it is they involve multiple different areas. So in order for me to succeed, I have to collaborate with other teams. Perfect example is XB1, the experimental jet. We have things directly tied to that. My job is to make sure that freaking jet gets off the ground by hook or by crook. I have certain areas that's that. Now I have tactical stuff. And I also have other areas that are tied to NIST and 800-171. Those are pretty well set. And they intermingle and certain tech goes across both of them. That's my focus. And I'm held to the fire. Now, occasionally something comes up. Like somebody's like, hey, we're about to integrate this. We're about to do this or whatever. I'm like, all right, we'll build that in. But that's a process that's built in. There's collaboration between myself and others in the leadership team. How are we going to do this? How do we execute on it? How do we do resources on it? But that isn't just an ad hoc. I'm just going to go off and buy something. If the conversation is, hey, I would love to open your mind to something that we're going to that we would love to engage with you in the next 6, 12, 18 months, maybe I'll have a conversation about it. But if somebody's like, hey, you know, we're seeing this, we're doing this, you need to do this or whatever, I'm like, that's going into the other pile on LinkedIn or in email. It's just going straight into bloody, oh God, here we go. Yes. Oh, this is fucking, sorry, excuse my French. This is rather hilarious. I just had one. And I've gotten to the point now where I have a dear vendor letter. I literally have a dear vendor letter. Because I've just come to the point, I'm like, y'all can't do this shit. And it literally is like, hey, dear vendor, let's face it, this isn't working. How do you know it's not working? Because you're getting this letter from me. Let me explain to you the potential reasons it isn't working. Let me explain to you what you can do better. And I just fire that back.
I love that.
I'll share it with you.
Please do. Can we share that publicly?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. I got two of them. I'll send it to you. I'll stick it to you on LinkedIn. Just do what you want with it.
I would love to, because that's, I mean, to me, that's being part of the solution, right? Which, as much as I complain on Twitter about, you know, vendors or anyone else, I always try to be part of the solution too.
Yeah.
And I think as security folks, that's something we need to do. So in the spirit of that, I'm actually going to pop up this question that came in.
Ooh.
If we could fix one thing that vendors do, what would it be?
I would want a vendor to spend 5 minutes doing research. on not just myself, but also the company. You probably get the same thing. Hey, I'd love to have a conversation with you about your HVAC system or about your insurance. Like, I'm the CISO. All I care about HVAC is that the fucking computer that's attached to it doesn't attach to the rest of my network.
It's running Windows 98, right?
Exactly. So, I, 5 minutes of research, ask yourself a couple more questions. I think that would be my, and to your point, educate. You know, you and I are out there. We are not shrinking violets. So let's be very, very honest about this.
What was your first clue?
Nails, hair, you know, all the good stuff. And so we put ourselves out there sufficiently that if anybody took a look for a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, and went, oh, this is Alicia. This is how to approach. This is Chris. This is how to approach. This is Gary. This is how to approach. You know, Gary Hayslip and people like that. It's like, okay, that's how I approach them. That's, oh, by the way, don't try to sell them. Actually, took a more European approach, which is, I want to know you. For me, it's about breaking bread because it isn't about vendors. We do some stuff. So Maria is over at NewSpy. She's freaking amazing. And the reason we're working with them is because of her. How she approached, how we communicated, how we collaborated, how we worked as a team, how we took challenges and turned them into the things that we, and there's comfort, which means it's a partnership, you know, and that's, nobody's trying to throw each other under the bus. When a problem occurs, first and foremost, the CISO has to be the one that goes, shit's going to happen. Let's accept it right away. And then the partnership is, okay, how do we fix this? Not the CISO going, how do you fix this? Or the vendor going, it's not me, it's them. It's that, hey, how do we do something different? So I think it's both what can the vendors do differently, but to be honest as well, and this, I've done a couple of posts on this one, as a CISO, we also have to approach things a little differently as well. We've got to hold ourselves a little bit more accountable.
Oh, I definitely. So I'll throw my answer in here now, because obviously I agree with that. First of all, I mean, quick story, funny story, maybe sad story, was the woman who contacted me from a company that does security awareness. And she sends me a message and says, hey, you know, we have this product. Here's what's really good about it. You know, you know, here's what we're doing that's different than what the industry does. All great story stuff, right? Like, okay, fine. You know, two problems. One, I've had dinner with her CEO. So probably don't need to introduce the product to me. But okay, maybe you didn't know that. Understood. Fine, whatever. That's not in your Salesforce. I get that. But you know what is in your Salesforce database? The fact that we evaluated your freaking product 5 months ago and you lost out to another vendor.
No.
And it's just like, so, you know, and that's where it's like, I just, those, you know, to your point, like, yeah, do your homework, start with your own systems, do your homework. My company's name was in there.
Let's also face it as well. I mean, if you're going, again, if you're going up against somebody, again, like you, like I, and a number of other people in this industry who are out there, especially relatively outspoken, put an internal message to your leadership team and the other sales. Hey, have any of you run into these people before? Have any of you tried approaching? Have any of you had the conversations? Because,
or check their LinkedIn, see if they're at least connected and make records. You know, I mean, that's at least a minimum. But I think,
I think the other thing on the vendor, this is because I'll hold sales and marketing accountable, because, and business development. I think this is where, like, Danny and I have had the conversation. I try not to be an ass back to the sales and marketing people, because they're being told by somebody. For me, whatever bloody conferences, the chief marketing officer, the chief revenue people, and the chief whoever the hell has decided that it needs to be another acronym officer, those people, those are the people we need to be targeting and going, hey, your spray and pray tactics don't work. Your outreach for a $25 gift card isn't going to work. You're just pissing me off on LinkedIn and text message and email and voicemail doesn't work. You're trying to get to my team to get to me doesn't work. And literally giving them a list of shit that doesn't work. And then going, and here's how to do this differently. Those are the people we need to hit.
I agree. So where I was going then, as far as what my one thing is I would fix, it's similar, but if I could fix one thing, and this is lofty, right? Because this is well beyond cybersecurity. This is every sales organization that exists on the planet. for God's sake, please, to the point we were talking about before, start thinking strategically.
Oof.
This is the thing. This is why I did not survive long at a VAR, working at a VAR, who shall remain nameless, but you would definitely recognize their big red square. and it's not them, right? I mean, it's every VAR. It's every sales org. Totally. It's the, you can't look beyond one quarter or one half of the year. If they're looking out as far as an entire year, that's like strategy to them. But to the point we were just talking about, when you're trying to make sales connections with somebody like a CISO who has a roadmap,
yep,
who has already set their budget for the year 3 months before the year started,
yep,
you have, yep, to be looking further out, or you're just, what happens, and this is the part that drives me nuts about salespeople from this perspective as a CISO, this is like, well, they come in and I say, well, yeah, you know, I might be able to look at that next year. That might fit in with my roadmap, you know, if you know, after this year. And what do they do? They walk away. They're not interested. Yeah. You're a cold lead. That, yep, is literally how they label you in Salesforce. You're a cold lead.
Yep.
And it's like, well, if you can't take the time to care about, maybe I can start building a relationship now. And I know that's a lot of work for salespeople who are just trying to be on the phone all day, you know, especially if you're inside salesperson and that's all you're doing is popping calls all day long. I get it. But man, somewhere you've got to find a different way to do business as a sales org and make it about a relationship, because that's the only way you're going to land, you know, in that situation.
Yeah, and I think that's the challenge is, you know, and I'll send I sent you the letter, by the way, on LinkedIn. That, totally.
Great. Now I will dig up a LinkedIn message.
Sorry. At least it should be at the top of the LinkedIn messages, or at least close to it.
5 minutes,
yeah,
until all the vendor messages.
Yeah. Hey, you talked about RSA.
Oh, I cry. Oh, God.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you want to talk about, like, who's somebody else put a LinkedIn post out that, like, I'm getting done with this. Like, hey, you going to RSA? We'll be here. I'm like, I'm going. So there's a couple of things on this one. And I think this is where, in our industry, we've lost the plot. Let's just start with the easy one. I've stood up on stage and said this, and we have too many vendors. So start with the easy one. I don't need 20 different flavors of endpoint. I need 3 or 4. A little bit of healthy competition and a little bit of pushing. That's all I want. I don't need 15 different vendors' bloody firewall. I need 3 or 4.
Right.
And the rest of your buggers, you all can figure out how to combine and maybe collaborate with each other, because not every single one of you is going to make billions. How about making a couple of million, and how about each one of you putting food on everybody's table? And anything more than that is gravita. You know, anything more than that is lanyard, basically. That, I think, is one of the biggest problems. Secondly, obviously, the fact it's all VC funded, and it's, how do we do this? How do we get the figurehead company, as opposed to actually, to your point, helping people? If I can't get a sale now, I'm done with you, which is bullshit to me. Exactly to your point, it's like, okay, I can't get a sale now, but let's catch up. When are you going to be at a conference, or where are you going to be this? Now, it behooves us as the leadership people to actually take that time to try to do it. But you can't, yeah, do it to 20 of these damn vendors. You can do it to a short subset of them.
Well, and I mean, I just long for the vendor who will sit there and work with me to say, all right, you know, this isn't in your roadmap right now, or you don't have the budget for it this year. Totally get that. Totally understandable. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But all right, so how do we, you know, how can we go and in a few years, or, you know, as we start moving towards next year, you know, do this thing differently so that, you know, we can start to position our product in your roadmap. Does that make sense? Can we talk about how are we going to help you win CapEx,
yep,
dollars, if that's what's necessary, which is becoming less and less because somewhere somebody decided that everybody wants their stuff to be OpEx.
I'm so glad I don't. That's the nice thing about that stuff. This place is pretty good no matter which way we want to jump on it. They look at us and like, all right, you tell us what's best. I'm like, I love you guys.
Yeah.
Our CFO, I will give a huge shout out. Then what I loved about it when I started, I was a little concerned because he had not run InfoSec team before. And that was like, oh, this is good. huge amount of credit to him. He came up and he's like, hey, I need to learn, need to understand, let's have conversations. And huge amount of credit, we talk, we converse, we have conversations, we do BS stuff, but we also work out together on how to make this effective. Yeah, there we go. The freaking, and that's not all of the buggers.
Oh, I know. This is old. This is like 4 years old now. Yeah. And even then it wasn't all of them. But I had to throw it up here because it is absolutely my favorite image.
It's crazy. I think I keep hearing different numbers. It's like cybersecurity itself. How much, you know, we don't even have a handle on how much data we've lost. We don't have a handle on how much bloody stuff we have. Most of us, most companies out there don't have a handle on what assets. And we have no bloody clue as to how many companies are out there. I mean, it's nuts.
And just off coming out of the road. Since you can't read it at the bottom, this is from Momentum Partners is the one that put this together. I just want to make sure that I give the proper credit here. But yeah,
Okay, so here's a question for you, because I've started saying this, but I'm intrigued on your viewpoint on this. And hang on a sec. I'm interested on your thoughts on this one. In the way I look at things, I would say that we have enough, from a technology standpoint, we have invented and have enough technology out there now to, I wouldn't say solve, but to get as near as damn it to solving the security issues that we have without inventing more stuff. We just have to figure out how to put it in more efficiently and effectively.
Chris, why are you setting me up? Because this is, I have opinions on this all day long. Goody.
Talk. I'm actually really interested in your thoughts on this one.
This is funny. This is, we've swapped roles for the moment.
It's fun. I like it.
This should be a conversation, and it is. But so you mentioned like the all the vendors that we have, everything is being run by VC money.
Yes.
And if you look at the products being released, this is the thing that drives me nuts about it, to your point. People are creating these new products that are nothing more than a marginal point release improvement over existing stuff that's in the market. And they're calling it this new whiz bang thing that you have to have. And what's really sick, and I can share offline, I won't do it here, but I've watched firsthand how marketing does this, where they literally will sit down and create a name for their marketplace so they can say they're the leaders in super duper X cloud native shocking wonderfulness, whatever. You know, I mean, like they just create this super like, and then Gartner, I'm going to blast Gartner. No, I'm not going to blast Gartner because they're not alone in this. All of the analysts will go out and they will eat that up and they'll start reporting on it. And it's like, and before you know it, you got five vendors that all do something that's, you know, marginally different than what existing players were already doing. They added some incremental feature and called it a revolutionary new idea in XYZ security. So that alone.
I ran into it in the threat intelligence and the intel space and counter intel space and also deception space. Deception space most recently. I ran one and then I worked for two organizations and I ended up taking a step back out of one of them because for that exact reason. And human nature. So you line up 10 people and the first one goes, hey, you line up 10 people maybe of equal skills. Let's say everybody's got a baseline of skills. They can all do carpentry. Okay. Especially males. Person number one goes, hey, I'm actually okay at carpentry. Person number two goes, yeah, I'm actually pretty good. Person number three goes, yeah, I'm actually really good. By the time it gets to person number 10, their carpentry is out of this world. It's sitting on whatever deity's table it is. They actually built the cup of whatever and they are beyond touch. No. Fucking marketing teams need to be taken out and shot because the problem is number 10's got to outdo the other nine. Yeah. That's my problem with the whole thing. Exactly to your point. And by the way, number 10's come up with new acronyms because number 7 did and number 5 decided that it wasn't carpentry anymore. It was advanced three-dimensional natural-based analysis.
Yeah. And so that is exactly my point. And to support this now, the other part to your point, and I did see this done in a study. This is, boy, it's got to be 3 or 4 years old now as well. 60%, what is it? What is the number? Let me see if I can remember this now. It basically spoke to 60% of cybersecurity initiatives are implemented to 10% or less of their actual capability. So you think about that. You buy tools. 60% of the tools that you buy, you will implement 10% or less of what they're capable of. And think about it. It all starts with Excel. How many people use Excel to its full capability?
Nobody.
Even those that are great in pivot tables still aren't doing half the stuff that Excel can do.
So this brings up a really good point. And we ran into this. One of the crew here, we brought Brad on 5 or 6 months ago as one of the analysts. Freaking awesome guy. He's sitting there like about a month or two ago, and we're talking about DLP, data leakage protection. And for the folks that are on the conference, I hate using acronyms. We brought him on, and one of the things we were starting to look at is like, how can we do this? And we were looking at products and everything else. And he comes up and he's like, yeah, Google does a whole bunch of stuff natively. And I'm like, it does. And he's like, yeah, here's the. And now we've implemented like probably 2/3 of what we needed directly through the that we already had, that we just didn't know all the actual extra freaking widgets and bits and bumps you can put. Perfect example of that.
And this actually, now we're touching on another thing. And again, this is all stemming off your question of, do we have enough stuff?
Yeah.
To, like, reasonably be, you know, addressing security things.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think we're learning, at least this is something I'm passionate about because it's what's going on in my organization right now. We are learning as an industry slowly that having the best of breed something is way less powerful than having a cohesive ecosystem of tools that talk to each other. And a lot of times, and this is why we're seeing so much, we are at the same time we're seeing an explosion of vendors, we are also seeing a lot of vendor consolidation.
Yes.
Because, you know, and I'm going to use the classic example, and this is not me advertising, but this is just reality. And this could be, I could be saying this about Palo, I could be saying this about VMware, but I'm going to point at the big dog in the room, and that's Microsoft.
Yeah.
You look at Microsoft, how many enterprise organizations are running around with E5 contracts right now, right?
Yep.
You have cheap access, well, relatively speaking, to a lot of really good tools. Now, am I going to sit in here and say Microsoft Defender is the best EDR tool on the planet? No, I would probably list it 5th or 6th behind a couple others. But when you partner it with Azure AD that you're probably already leveraging, and you connect it to a Sentinel SIM, and by the way, Sentinel definitely not being the best SIM on the market,
right?
But you tie all those together now. That just that overall ecosystem gives you so much visibility and capability that you wouldn't get if you were leveraging one of the big name EDR tools with one of the big name SIM tools with some other, you know, connector that gets you into your Azure AD, you know, all those things. And it's like, when you do that, I think that's where we're starting to get to, because now we're seeing that capability doesn't necessarily just come from having the best tool.
Now, here's my challenge on that one. You and I do that because we've been around the block, we know the industry, and we care. That's the big one. If you're, that's the big one. You come into this, and this is where I get a problem with our with us in our industry. If I come in, not me, but if a CISO comes in and literally all they want to do is make a mark or whatever, guess what? They're going to go buy IBM. They're going to go buy CloudStrike. They're going to go buy ThoughtTrace. And they're going to go buy all the big names. And they're going to walk in and go, oh, you know, I got best of breed in here. And, you know, ignore the fact they took me out for all these state dinners. And ignore the fact that we go golfing every weekend with everybody. And ignore the fact that I'm getting paid to go to do all these things. That's where I have a challenge with it, because they haven't taken the time to go, what's best for the company? They haven't taken the time, to your point. I mean, I look at Boom. Boom's 300-400 people. We're not huge. So I tend to look at the vendor space and go, who can I partner with that maybe we can do some interesting stuff with that maybe isn't up there, isn't down here, but who's good enough that will actually pay attention with us? To your point, if I go to somebody like a big one, the chances are they're going to look at me and go, eh, you're kind of cool, but yeah, you're not giving us billions of dollars a year. But if I go to a smaller organization, I go like, hey, we want to partner with you. We want to do some really cool stuff. We're going to do some of this. Are you up for the conversation? They'd be like, oh, hell yeah. And I know already that they will integrate with, I mean, we run a single sign-on system that we now have like 70 plus apps under, and it's awesome. But we're really, really careful about it. So we integrate with that. Same thing with our orchestration stuff and everything else. It's because I care, because I want to do what's right for the organization, because I want to be able to stand up and go, hey, I did the best I humanly possibly could.
Well, and what you also just mentioned is thinking strategically in my book, right? Like, you're thinking ahead of the game. You're thinking, who can I partner with? How can I build a relationship? Who's going to get me what I need? And I think what ends up happening a lot of times too, where there's, as you know, an investigator chick put it, so, you know, we've all seen it, the Bertie Bott syndrome, right? I think where that stems from is you get in that mode where you're like, you have a problem and you're thinking very tactically. And so you go out and you get someone's mystical quadrangle that tells you what it is that you have to, you know, who the best players are in the space, and you go grab one.
I know. And it's
rather than looking at what do I have now and what's going to fit for me.
This is one of the things that scares me. I love working here. I love working at Boom. I love the ability to innovate, the ability to pivot, the ability to literally announce. You know, we got to a point with perfect example, with engines. We got to a point with engines. We were like, hey, I think it'd be cool if we built our own. Now, we're small enough and agile enough that we can do that effectively. I really get scared. I'm like, you know, if we carry on building this thing and we do the full size one, we're going to be, you know, we'll be the size of some of the other big tier one players. I worried that we will lose that ability to pivot really, really quickly. And that's what we see. If you look at some of the biggest, like the IBMs, the Oracles, and everybody else, their ability to effectively pivot quickly, Palo in the same reign, Microsoft, that worries me, that you get that big and you partner with that company and they just don't have that flexibility. Whereas you get the mid-tier ones and they're freaking cool to work with.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, there's good and bad there, right? I mean, it's, you know, Microsoft... Yeah. For instance, being a big dog, you're a small fish in a really, really gigantic pond. And sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it is cool to work with a really small niche vendor who's got something where, you know, ultimately, a lot of times they're more interested in shaping the product to what you tell them you want.
Yeah, as long as you can say, hey, this is where the market's going, this is going. Although I'll counter my own point and go with what you're saying. So we've got some stuff sitting up in the cloud and we run a whole bunch of interesting stuff up there. I will give that vendor a head ton load of credit because they've partnered with us to the point where we're working with them on security reviews. We're working with them on data flows. We're working on them with data modeling, data labeling. They're working with us. We've got a dedicated team and it's actually really freaking cool. And they're obviously one of the big, 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 big names. And I love it because they've actually taken like that small, medium business approach to really partner. So I'll give them a ton of credit that they kind of buck the trend, which is nice to see.
And I've seen that work, you know, and I mean, not to, you know, badmouth anybody. That's not the intention here. Yeah. And I know we've mentioned specific names and that it's not to blow people out of the water.
I'll stand behind everything I say.
And it's, you know, and, you know, we've got a small vendor that we've worked with, and and it was brought in by my predecessor actually, and it's a really, really, really impressive tool.
Nice.
And we've, you know, and what I like about that, when you can do that, and it was the tool that fit, it filled a really specific need that there were a lot of other tools that kind of said they do, but they don't, and it doesn't really well. And I'm being intentionally vague on purpose because I don't want this to become an advertisement, but. Also, there's that whole thing about getting too deep into, you know, what your tool set is, even though I've kind of exposed some of it.
It's already. A balance, yeah.
We were with them very early on in their very early startup phases. And, you know, we've done case studies with them. We've, you know, shared feedback with them and seen them create parts of their product that fit. And they're a name now that's getting a lot of play lately in the market.
Good.
And it's one of the vendors that I'll stand here and say they deserve it. Like deserve every bit of it. And, you know, because it does something, and everybody that I turn on to them, if they haven't heard of them yet, they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And for others, they're like, oh wow, this is like wonderful. And part of the reason why I'm not saying it is because I would end up then insulting another vendor as part of explaining who they are and what they do. So I don't want to do that. But
you know, there's some really cool innovation in that space, and we're seeing the same thing. so we generate a ton of data. I mean, you know, we got engines and we got aeroplanes, we got, you know, things doing things that are generating a lot of data. So what we're trying to do is figure out a lot of our data modeling. Now you can go to the tier ones and they take a look at the data modeling and how much we're generating. Like, oh yes, that'll be like a million a year. And we're like, yeah, you know, we're pre-revenue startup little buddies. And we did that. We went out to a couple of the Gartner ones and the Forrester ones, and we did the due diligence. I'm like, all right, I'll go play. We end up sitting down with a company based out of Canada that does data modeling, and we sat down with them. Freaking awesome conversations. Like, and they came out to one of the conferences I was doing out there, and we just sat down for a while and just a lot of this. And it was amazing because we sat down and we worked it all out and we thought it all out, and now we're going through all the legal stuff with them. We're going to get them in. We'll do POCs with them. And the chances are they will probably help us build out our data modeling, our data architecture stuff, our data resilience stuff, data labeling, data handling. And that came in because their approach was not the traditional spray and pray. They learned, they understood, they did a little bit of research on us, and they hit me up in a way that was actually positive, elicited a good response, and we just kept talking. And it was an absolute, just a fantastic example of, hey, you can do it right. And it was something that was on the roadmap, but it wasn't on the roadmap immediately. And I just flipped a few things around. I'm like, hey, let's have this conversation now. So yeah,
it can be so magical. But yeah, and that's where the sales side needs to have, I don't know if it's more visibility of the sales engineering side, or if it's, you know, where that comes in. It's not a marketing thing. I mean, marketing has their own issues. We've covered that ad nauseum.
Yeah.
But you know, I feel like with the sales side, it's just, I don't know how to motivate sales to focus on that longevity. So I'll admit, I don't have the ultimate solution here.
No, this is where it's, so Danny's got a whole company that's dealing with that stuff. And for me, it's that at the moment it's spray and pray. It's quantity over quality. And that equation's got to be reversed. It's got to be, hey, we need you, salesperson on the end of the phone every 5 minutes, inside sales, outside, whatever it is. We need quality conversations. I don't want quantity. And that's a fun, again, back to your thing, fundamental conversation change from the business development reps through to the C chief revenue people and sales VPs. It's, I need every conversation that you have to be the same kind of conversation you have with your family or guardians that you like, not the ones that you only see once a year and they give you a god awful t-shirt and a sweatshirt that you absolutely hate and you never want to see them again. I need you to have those meaningful conversations. I mean,
I don't need any more vendor polos, for God's sake. I almost never wear polo shirts, and I definitely don't wear men's vendor polos. Okay.
Giddy on, really?
Oh, because they call them unisex.
It looks like a frickin', it's a square thing and looks bloody awful. It looks awful on me, for crying out loud, and I'm not even a square shape myself, for goodness sakes. I'm just like,
come on.
I just,
this has been interesting, because this went a way different direction than I thought we were going to go today.
It's us, for crying out loud. You know,
I know. We could have sat here and talked about whiskey for 40 minutes, and I think people would have loved it.
That would have been fun. Yeah, we will have. Maybe we'll have to do that one of those days.
I had to work in the whiskey because.
Oh yeah, I'm bringing
it to our conversation with Chris and not talk whiskey.
We got to find out. We got to figure out where everybody is. We got the Tinkerers thing.
What's
Tuesday night?
Tuesday
night. Yeah, are you busy Tuesday night?
Yeah, I do the Scholars dinner every Tuesday.
That makes sense.
That's one of my favorite events.
I'll have whiskey with me. I'll have whiskey with me. So if we bump into each other, we'll figure it out. Yeah.
What's the new hotness, or are we still on, are you sticking to the tried and true?
I've been, so the Islas have been putting out some gorgeous ones. Calilla just put out a 12-year-old that is absolutely freaking fantastic. It's gorgeous off the charts, gorgeous for age and price and all the other good stuff. Compass has gone a little weird on me. They've gone a bit strange on me. I got some Taiwanese stuff with me. I've been messing around with rums. I've been playing silly buggers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Plantation.
You're taking out.
I'm eating bits of beard. There we go. I found bits of beard. You know what it's like. Like, hair gets in there. It's just never a good thing. Yeah. Not good.
Okay.
This is the problem. See, I'll twirl this. Yeah, it's not good.
But yeah, so it's over here. And yes, this gets in the mouth too.
There we go. Gets in the way. Yeah, so rums, been messing around with some nice rums. Been Plantations putting out some really, really fun, interesting ones that they're finishing off in different barrels. So I'll have a couple of those with me. What else do we have on the whiskey side of the world? I've been having fun. Collection shrank a little.
Somewhere to do this whiskey tasting or what? Rum tasting, excuse me.
We got the late night thing. What time does your thing go on till on Tuesday?
Oh, it's pretty much all night.
It's an all night thing. All right. I don't know where else I'm going to be doing it. I got the award thing on Monday. Whiskeys are like Tuesday evening. Forge Point thing is on Wednesday. You're going to come play Silly Buggers at the Forge Point, or there's a Safe Breach Bourbon thing?
I've got a couple others with partners. I do have to do actually some business stuff and meet with some of my partners while I'm out there, which is kind of important, you know.
I'll have fun stuff with me. I'll have a bunch of the...
I'll find you.
Exactly, yeah. Get hold of me. We'll figure it out.
You out there should find us too.
Yes.
Because we will be around. So if you are coming out to San Francisco, Phil, I'm looking at you because I know you're coming and I know you at least were here. So,
I will, the beard will probably be a different color as well. I actually might color, I haven't colored it for forever. It's been quite a while. I haven't colored it. So I'll probably end up coloring
it. It was blue last year at our
probably, yeah. Yeah. I think that was actually the last time I colored it. I'm pretty sure I might've done it for, I think it was actually the last time I colored it.
Unfortunately, my industry doesn't bode well for executives with colored hair. So I've had to kind of stick to more naturalish colors, but,
I think like a week after, maybe 2 weeks after, I've got a board meeting. So, and they're just going to have to put up with whatever the heck color I tell
them. I'm not worried about my board. It's my customers. My company would be fine with it. The board would be fine with it. I'm not even worried about that. But yeah, there's just some customers in our industry yet that would be a little more sensitive to that. So.
We have something similar in some of ours. So they tend to hide me away sometimes. Which is probably not a bad thing. Yeah.
Fair enough.
All
right. We've run past way past. But that's okay. I don't mind, and I don't think anybody out there minds. They're hanging with us and it's been wonderful. I know we actually didn't even get to all of the questions in the chat, but I think we got a number of them, and It's been a great conversation. I can't thank you enough for joining.
Honored to have the time to be able to sit down and hang out. I love this. You are amazing. So I was really looking forward to this. So thank you, Tess.
So we will not have an episode next week, just so everybody's aware. We are recording an episode live at RSA. I still got to find who's going to join me for that. So I'm up if you're watching and you want to come join me, do a live episode. Well, a live recorded episode, an in-person recorded episode.
There we go.
Let me know, but no, seriously, I would love, or if you got suggestions on someone else you think is going to be at RSA, it would be a great, guest, or guests. I'm open. So we won't have a live show next week. Hopefully we'll be back to live the week following. Just watch social media. It'll be out there. I'll keep letting you know. But that's all the time we got for today for Securing Bridges. I can speak. I almost just combined my podcast with one of my favorite podcasts. That was
I know that one.
you're in aviation. Of course you do. Oh, shit. All right. So, Securing Bridges. That's all we got. I got to get out of here because my brain has officially melted. The helmet fire is going full bore. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you again soon. Until next time, take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Securing Bridges Podcast with Alyssa Miller. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSBmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.